Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. So much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really, really glad you tuned in today. A very happy Thursday to you. Well, if you're a parent, whether you're a parent of little ones or grown kids, you know that at times we feel completely in over our heads. And my sons are grown now, and I learned something that I just think is so valuable. It's really helped me frame the story that God's writing in their lives. But you know, parenting is not a formula that guarantees an outcome. It's an offering that promises a harvest. And sometimes that harvest looks different than you think it might, but you're sowing seeds of faith. And anybody who tells you that there's a foolproof way, five steps, and you'll get this kind of a child when they're all grown up, I'd be a little cautious about that. Although there are principles in Scripture that are true and that matter, and they're there for us. That's why I'm so excited to be talking to Paul David Tripp today. He's written a book titled Parenting, Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Family. I told him before the show that I'm going to just kind of tuck this into my son's bag. He and his wife are thinking about that family thing, getting that whole thing started. And the book is fantastic. Looking forward to unpacking the content with Paul here in just a moment. Second hour, my friend Jennifer Dukes Lee joins me to talk about her book, The Happiness Dare. Wow, this book is deep and profound. You're going to be so encouraged and challenged when you hear what Jennifer has to say. Okay, before we get Paul on, just a couple quick announcements. If you are live streaming the show right now, I want to know about it, okay? Can you send me an email, susie@myfaithradio.com? We've got a massive audience of people live streaming the programs on Faith Radio. And just every time as we move into a new market on Live the Promise, we issue just sort of this invitation. Email me, susie@myfaithradio.com with your name and address, and we'll pull some books off our Faith Radio shelf to just say welcome. Well, welcome to you listening out online. I'm so glad to have you listening today. So email me. I'd love to get you a stack of great books. Also, our fall share is coming up just around the bend. I'm wondering if you just prayerfully consider your role this year, because the ministry is growing by leaps and bounds. We're getting testimonies of changed lives all over the place. And if you've been a benefactor, if you've benefited from the ministry, I pray that you'd consider stepping in and stepping up with us and just getting a vision for what God wants to do in and through Faith Radio. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Paul David Tripp is a pastor, author, and international conference speaker. He's written a number of popular books on Christian living. He lives in Philadelphia with his wife, Luella, and they have four grown children. Dear Paul, welcome to the program.
Well, it's great to be with you.
So, Paul, we love to start our conversations talking Scripture, and I'm wondering if you either have a life verse or just one you've been pondering these days that you could share with us.
Well, I have a parenting verse. It's in Psalm 145. It says that one generation shall commend your works to another. Now, the reason I like this verse so much is it reframes parenting in two ways. One, it lets me know that parenting is profoundly more than just controlling and managing the behavior of your children. If all you do is control and manage the behavior of your children, once they leave your home, they have nothing. Hmm. You know, one of the sad things that we all know about is every year, thousands of supposedly Christian young people go off to residential universities to forsake the faith. I would propose they never had the faith in the first place, in a personal way. It was the faith of their parents. And under a neat system of control, they seem like they were okay. What comes out in university is the true condition of their hearts. There's a second thing that I think is so important about this verse. It is that parenting is about giving your children a predominantly God-centered view of the universe. And the reason that's important is if your children don't early become aware that all of life is about God and not about them, they will insert themselves in the middle of their world. They will make it all about them, and that never, ever goes anywhere good. So packed into a few words are very, very important perspectives that should shape and frame our parenting.
Well, your kids are grown now, Paul. I would love to just get some backstory on just your mindset and perspective when they were growing up. What are some things you're glad that you're really glad you did, and others that you go, hey, if I had another try at that, I might approach this differently?
You know, I'm like every other parent. Every parent who's going to give grace to their children need grace themselves. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I have many conversations that I reflect back on that I wish I could take out of history and take out of the memory of my children. But on the other hand, I think that there are a couple insights that God gave us that along the way began to just reframe the way we thought about parenting. And one of those that I think is just so important is in parenting, you can't ask the law, rules and regulations to do what only grace can accomplish. Now here's what this means. If all we sinners needed were a set of rules to place boundaries around our behavior, if that's all we needed, Jesus would have never had to come. Mm. The cross teaches us that something else was needed. And so rules can expose the heart and the sin of your children. Rules are a great guide for life, God's rules particularly. But rules will never rescue your children from themselves.
Wow.
And that's what needs to happen.
Indeed.
And so parenting can't be just driven by law. It has to be a ministry of grace as well.
Boy, that's fantastic. And as you say, it's so much more than controlling or managing behavior, because even if you've got the rigid rules and you've got a compliant child, they may appear to be falling within the guidelines, and you may be thinking, this is a win, this is success. But oftentimes, compliant children are just a party waiting to happen. I mean, so what you see isn't always what you get. So you're saying we've got to parent from a much broader perspective, a biblical worldview. Maybe take it from there.
Well, one of the things that concerned me when I listened to the way that parents were using good parenting books, what I heard was they were looking for the rules that would give them the child that they were looking for. Mm. And I just thought, what's missing is an understanding of how the gospel of Jesus Christ changes everything. Think about this. First of all, my children need to understand what I said earlier, that they're not in the center of their universe. I mean, let's be honest. We give birth, or we adopt, or we parent little self-appointed self-sovereigns. Hmm. It's natural for children. It's natural for sinner human beings to put themselves in the center of the world. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says that Jesus came so those who live, I love this helpful phrase, would no longer live for themselves. The DNA of sin is self-centeredness. It's making life all about me. So children need to know that right away. They need to know that the biggest danger for them actually lives inside of them, not outside of them. And then they need to understand that God doesn't just want momentary acts of behavior. God's after their hearts. Because it's your heart that is the seat of your thoughts, the seat of your desires, the seat of your emotions, the seat of your motivations. If God doesn't have your heart, he doesn't have you. So parenting is looking for those opportunities to talk about the heart of the child. And then the third thing is the child needs to understand that what a sinner needs is a redeemer. Hmm. What a sinner needs is rescue from himself. And we can't provide that for themselves. I can run from a situation. I can run from a location. I can run from a circumstance, but I can't run from me. And if the biggest problem is inside of me and not outside of me, then I need a savior. And once you get a hold of those things, it begins to change the way you think about the task that God has given you.
You know, what you just said is probably a massive revelation for someone, Paul, because especially given the culture that we live in, the moral implosion, the decadence all around us, the divisive nature of conversations, if we still have a conversation with our children to say, even as big of problems as we see in the world today, the biggest problem is inside, is within. And God made a way. You know, he's got an answer for that through his son, Jesus. I mean, how different kids would show up in the world, and even how different parents would parent, because then instead of the goal of keeping you safe from all the evils of the world, totally sheltering you and keeping you in a bubble. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons a lot of millennials walked away. They were so disheartened by, I'm not doing the bubble.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and
absolutely.
So that's gospel, but it isn't something that we embrace typically as parents.
Yeah, and I think it's the insight that Scripture gives that is so incredibly helpful and practical is that it's the sin inside of me that hooks me to the evil outside of me. Mm. That's what the Bible means when it says to the pure, all things were pure. If my heart were pure, there would be no attraction whatsoever to the darkness outside of me. And so you don't solve the problem by creating a modern monastery. Well, think about this. Well, what was the failure of the medieval monasteries? You know, the theory was it's an evil world out there. The way to be righteous is to separate yourself from the evil world. And we now know that monasteries recreated every evil of the outside world. Well, why was that? Well, monasteries made one big mistake. They invited people into them. Hmm. And people bring the sin of their own hearts. And so there has to be an internal focus, not just an external focus to parenting. And the minute you have that internal focus, you understand that rules are helpful, but they're not a solution. The solution is the child begins growingly to see that his biggest problem is himself, and he begins to hunger for help. And he's ripe then to hear the message of the rescuing grace of Jesus.
Talking to Paul David Tripp about his book, Parenting, 14 Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Family. We've got 3 copies. I'd love to get them into your hands. Email me if you want in on the drawing. Susie@myfaithradio.com. How fun to see some of these emails come in. You listening online, live streaming. It's a whole new world. It's a whole new day. Glad to have you listening. I'll grab a couple of your names and get you some books from our Faith Radio shelf. More with Paul David Tripp in a moment. Play that song by our good friend Sarah Groves. That's her parenting song that's just darling, and she's got a video to go with it. Just had to do it. Talking to Paul David Tripp today about his book, Parenting, 14 Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Family. What we've talked about already is kind of one of those kind of brain blowers, you know what? So if you just tuned in, you got to go back and catch the podcast, which will be up shortly after the live show is over. If you want in on the drawing, just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Name, mailing address, and put the word parenting somewhere in that email. Talk, if you would, Paul, about the idea of an ownership perspective on parenting and why it's actually not a view that works.
Well, again, it's one of the things that the Bible teaches in, it's just in 100 ways, is that when it comes to parenting, I have to understand that my position, my appointed position by God is ambassador, not owner. Mm. My children don't belong to me, they belong to God. And here's what ambassador means. The only thing an ambassador ever does is represent. And so it means this. This literally sends chills down my spine every time I say it. God makes his invisible authority and grace visible by putting visible parents in the lives of children to guide, direct, and give grace to those children. This is what this means. It means that as a parent, I'm to be a visible representation, an on-site representative of God's agenda, not mine. My job is not to clone my children into my image. My job is not to turn my children into my little indentured servants to make my life easier. My job is not to live out all my hopes and dreams through my children. My job is to daily ask the question, what is it that the King would like to do in this day in the lives of my children, and how can I be a representative of that? Hmm. Can I give you one implication of what that means?
Please, yes.
Let's talk about the exercise of authority. If I'm an ambassador, if I'm meant to represent God, then it means every time I exercise authority in the lives of my children, it must be a beautiful picture of the authority of God. The patient, gracious, tender, loving authority of God. Now, why is that important? It's important because my children come into the world with a natural distaste for authority, because they want to be their own authority. That battle of the three-year-old over what to eat or when to go to bed is not because this child has taken a sleep study or because they've read a diet book. It has nothing to do with sleeping or nothing to do with eating. It's the child's resisting being ruled. I want to rule myself. You will not rule me. Now, if I deal with that in a way that's angry and hurtful and condemning and aggressive and maybe even abusive, what I actually do is I deepen the rebellion of the child toward authority. Mm. What God has called me to is to present authority as a loving thing, authority as a beautiful thing, authority as a gracious thing, authority as a protective thing, authority as a wisdom-giving thing, so that my children begin to realize that authority isn't a loss of identity and a loss of freedom. Authority actually gives me freedom and instills in me the right identity.
Wow, that's fantastic. And Paul, truly, when you move from owner to ambassador, I think it puts a healthy fear of God in you, because suddenly you're thinking with vision and goals in mind, and it's the Father's vision and the Father's goals versus I can throw my weight around. I'm bigger than you because I said so, and I want to just get through the moment, and you're making my life hard right now. I mean, you can see how short-sighted. To me, it's like giving up your birthright for a bowl of soup from a parenting perspective,
sure.
Right?
Well, and it confronts me with one other thing. This really relates to the conversation we had earlier, that being an ambassador reminds me that I have no ability whatsoever to change my children, none. If by the force of my personality and the strength of my vocabulary and the threat of my power could change my children over a lasting way, again, Jesus would have never had to come. And so I'm called to a task where the thing that is most needed, I can't do. And you see, when you have a parenting economy that's all about the enforcement of rules, the exercise of power over your children, what you're actually doing is telling yourself that you have power that you don't have. Mm. And when you tell yourself that you have power that you don't have, this always happens. You end up doing things you shouldn't do. because you keep cranking up the power because you're frustrated because you think you have power and it's not working for you. And so you get more aggressive and you get more threatening and you get more legalistic, and it just, it starts a cycle that's wrong. What I have to realize is I am never, ever the change agent. That's God. I'm but a tool in his powerful, redemptive hands. There's nothing that needs to be changed in the life of a child that Jesus can't change. I'm there to represent him, but I can't do that myself.
Paul, we're getting all kinds of emails. People are really resonating with this message today. We've got about 3.5 minutes before our bottom of the hour break. Wondering if you would say a word of encouragement to that listener today whose children are grown and they're listening going, well, I've completely blown it. I've parented out of my own insecurities. I've tried to shape them in my image, not God's image. I maybe misused the weight of my parental authority. What word do you have for them today?
Well, this, I love this. This God of grace that we've been talking about, that is our only hope in life and death, is the world's best restorer. He can restore everything that sin has broken. I have sat and watched the beginning of the restoration of a relationship between parents and their children. Maybe the relationship isn't broken in a relational way, but the parent is now very aware that the way they did things was not right. And I've watched the heart of the child soften. I've watched parents build a very different relationship, yes, even with adult children. Grace never wears out. It never gets old. It retains its power. Believe in that. Go to your children and say, look, we realize we did this wrong. God has taught us new things, and we want to ask for your forgiveness, and we want to, in ways that are possible, even now, forge a very different kind of relationship with you, and watch what God will do.
Remember a couple months ago when my little sister's husband was battling pancreatic cancer in his last days, and my oldest son, who's 30 now, we were in the parking ramp of the hospital and just having deep life-death talk, so heartbroken over this loss. And I reached over and held his hand, and I said, son, I just, for the times that I parented out of fear, would you please forgive me? And he said, oh, Mom. He said, all God works all things together for the good. He says, your fear fostered my dependence on God. And he said, and all is well. And I overwhelmed by it. And I just, but you're so right. He makes all things new, doesn't he? Boy. God is good. Enjoying this conversation with Paul David Tripp. I kind of wish we had 15 copies to give away. I see lots of you emailing, but still would love to get your name in. We do a random drawing. I'd love to have you be one of those who wins this copy of Parenting 14 Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Family. This is not your ordinary parenting book. Let me just say, as you can tell with this conversation with Paul David Tripp, it's very deep and it's powerful. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Name, mailing address, put parenting in that email somewhere, and hopefully you'll win a copy. Back in a minute.
So I dance with Cinderella while she's here in my arms. 'Cause I know something the prince never knew.
So I chose that song because for you parents who still have kids at home, sometimes the biggest act of faith that you can engage in is building a fort with one of your kids, laying down inside and dreaming with them and praying with them and talking with them, or dads grabbing your little daughter and twirling her around, just taking time to play, to be with them. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Paul David Tripp today about his fantastic book, Parenting, 14 Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Family. We've got people coming, emailing us to be in on the drawing. You can too, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Name, mailing address, and put parenting in the email. Regarding the friends who are live streaming, I just want to shout out to Ruth Kwanbeck, Terry Morgan. You two win a gift pack from Faith Radio. Thanks for live streaming, and thanks for including your mailing address. Okay, David, let's talk about, Paul, Paul David Tripp. Let's talk about those 14 gospel principles. The first one you say is calling, and the principle is nothing is more important in your life than being one of God's tools to form a human soul. That's just poetic and powerful. Say more.
Well, imagine that the magnitude of understanding that God has placed me on site to be the 24/7 tool that he will use to form the soul of my child. Just imagine that. And so what I have to understand is there is probably for me no more profound calling than that one. And so what I have to do is I have to construct my life so that other things don't get in the way of my calling. I mean, there can be so many things in entertainment and house and possessions and lawn and cars and the list goes on, that gobble at our time. We live in a culture that says the good life is the physically rich, affluent, multifaceted, wonderful experience life. And that's just not true. And so I can't let myself be so busy and so distracted that I'm unable to do the thing that God has called for me to do, whether that's job or career or whatever. I would say it this way. This is the question that I want to hold before myself, and I think it's good for parents to hold before themselves. It's this: what set of values structures and organizes our family schedule?
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, you know, a part of this calling you write about, that at some point our children are going to want to know why we have the rules we have. And you say that the answer, because I said so, will not hold water, will not give us credibility. So part of calling is to, for ourselves even, know what it is, why we're doing what we're doing, why we're asking and calling out the things we're calling out of our kids. Unpack that a bit more, if you would.
Well, there's a wonderful moment in Exodus as God's giving the law that God actually plays out there for us a conversation where a son says to his father, why do we have these rules and regulations? And the father doesn't blow up his chest and say, because I told you to do these things. Just shut up and do them. The father begins to talk about God, talk about his redemption, talk about his mercy, talk about his love, talk about his provision. God is the reason that we do all of those things. This will sound funny, but your children cannot be the reason you do the parenting things you do. Because there'll be moments when they won't give you a reason. It'll be hard to be motivated by your children because they'll be resisting you. They'll be making your days more difficult. They have an amazing ability to complicate what shouldn't be complicated. And if you're looking to them for your motivation, you're going to be in trouble. Now, I didn't say this in the book, but it's something I've thought about so much. In any human relationship, you'd never get your capacity to love from the person that you were called to love. It just doesn't work that way. And so it's knowing I've been called by God, and he will give me what I need, even in the moments where I'm getting little motivation from my children. That is such an important aspect of understanding calling as a parent.
I want to repeat that. You never get your capacity to love from the person you're called to love. And I'm telling you, Paul, that really is the difference between seeing our children as a gift and a source, because if they become a source, they become idols. And then even what we're calling out of them and getting them to do so reflects on our need, that idolatry in our own hearts, you know. But to look at them as gifts that we steward as ambassadors, again, that puts us back to me anyway, a place of humble fear and reverence before God. Go ahead.
It does another thing, too. It keeps me from personalizing what is not personal. Generally, the rebellion of a child is not personal. And here's why. Because it's not about me. It's about God. It's about a refusal to live in a world of authority where I'm not it, the authority. And so when my child is resisting me, it's not me. He's not, my child doesn't wake up in the morning and say at 2:30, I'm going to make things real difficult for my mom. It just doesn't work that way. It's that natural resistance in the heart of a sinner against authority. Now, we all have done this. We all say things like, I do and I do for you, and this is the thanks I get. I can't believe you do such a thing to me. And when you personalize things like that, it's hard to get at the deeper issue of the heart. And in fact, maybe the best way to say it is this. If I'm going to get at heart issues with my children, I have to start with my own heart. And that's just reminding myself again and again that I'm called, that God will give me what I need. Because if I don't, here's what happens. I'm going to just give four things real quickly here. I will turn moments of ministry into moments of anger. You see, if my eyes ever see or my ears ever hear the sin, weakness, and failure of my children, it's never an accident, it's never a hassle, it's never an interruption, it's always grace. God loves that child. He's put him in a family of faith, and he will reveal their need to me so I can be part of God's rescue. So I don't want to turn moments of ministry into moments of anger. Why do I do that? Because I personalize what is not personal. I make it about me. And when I personalize what is not personal, then I'm going to be adversarial in my response. And here's the last thing. I will settle for quick situational solutions that don't get to the heart of the matter. I'll say nasty words, I'll bark a punishment, and I'll walk away. And the child has gained no insight, he's gained no new commitment, he's made no confession, he's utterly unchanged.
Wow. Let's talk about grace. And this is so big. I mean, truly, Paul, I feel like we could spend the hour talking about this. And I love this. You say God never calls you to a task without giving you what you need to do it. He never sends you out without going with you. Say more.
Well, it is such a relief for me. It lifts such a burden off my shoulders to understand. When I finally understood this, I cannot tell you the burden that was lifted. God doesn't call me to be a parent because I'm able. He calls me to be a parent because he's able. That's what grace is about. God knows my weakness. He knows that I'm still struggling with the own issues of my heart. And that's why he doesn't send me out alone. He will give me what I need to do the task. And when he sends me, he always goes with me. God works then to open my eyes to me. He wants me to know myself so I can begin to deal with the places where I'm weak. Listen, we should never be afraid of things being revealed or exposed in us, because there's nothing that could ever be exposed about us that hasn't been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That means I don't have to deny my weaknesses. I don't have to act like I'm, as a parent, like I'm something that I'm not. I know God is parenting me. When I'm having an encounter with my children, a parenting encounter, the wise Heavenly Father is parenting everybody in the room. Grace means you won't be punished for your failures, because Jesus took all of that punishment on himself. And grace liberates you from a prison of regret, because all those wrong things have been forgiven. I have the great liberty of confessing and moving on. Man, that's just a lifting of burdens for me. I can be who I am. I can admit my weaknesses, and I can know that God will meet me, and he will give me what I need to move on.
It is mind-boggling. I mean, we are grace forgetters, Paul. We need to remember this and say it to our soul on an hourly basis. In fact, I wonder how much of our misery in parenting is connected to our own misunderstanding of grace, our own insecurities flaring up because we can't get our little people to do the very things we've not been able to get ourselves to do apart from grace.
Well, absolutely. And there's two things that happen. One is I begin to measure my worth by the condition of my children. That's just craziness. And that just beats me up and discourages me. And the other thing it does is because I don't understand grace, I don't understand that grace allows us to be the most honest community on earth because there's nothing that any weakness, sin, or fail that hasn't been covered by Jesus, it keeps us from seeking help. Parents don't want to confess to other parents that they're struggling. It's Facebook parenting. It's a family goes out to the state park for a picnic and it's a horrible day. The dog kicks over the grill. The kids are fighting with one another. But at the end of the day, they pose for this beautiful Facebook picture. The Facebook picture is just a big lie. But why do we do that? Because we want people to think we're okay. Grace means you don't have to do that anymore.
Wow. And that's
good
news.
You don't have to act like you're something that you're not. You don't have to fool people because Jesus has covered all of those struggles.
So, Paul, what does grace look like to a parent who's dealing with a strong-willed child? How do they teach them about the authority, as you say, in kindness and gentleness and strength with grace? I'm thinking of that person listening today going, how does that play out on a practical level so that I can be an ambassador of God's grace and his authority to this child who thinks they rule the universe?
Well, you first have to understand this very, very important principle that grace is not ever about calling wrong right. If wrong were right, there would be no need for grace. Grace exists because wrong is wrong. So grace doesn't mean lax parenting where I let wrong go on and I don't deal with the significant spiritual issues and rebellion and misbehavior in my children. It just doesn't mean that. Grace is a way of dealing with all those things. And so I know that my child needs to be protected from himself. And I know the guiding and protective function of the law. So my children do need rules, but those rules need to be enforced with love and patience and gentleness. But I know something else. That's not enough. Somehow I need to look for ways of being an instrument of seeing in the life of that child. Because that child, no matter how righteously I act with my child, if that child doesn't transact with God, they won't be okay. And I want to help set up that transaction. So I'm looking for opportunities to help this child see himself with accuracy so he reach out for help. If you want an example of that, it's when the prophet Nathan had to talk with David, the adulterer and murderer. And he didn't rush in and say, you're an adulterer and a murderer and the gig is up, because this was a blind man. What did he do? He told him a story. The story was geared to get David to actually look at his own heart. And at the end, David says, I'm the man you're talking about. That's just an example of good parenting. I want to look for every opportunity to do that because I'm looking for more than a momentary acquiescence to a rule. I'm looking for change of heart. And so I'm going to set up protective boundaries. I'm going to exercise authority. I'm going to do that in a way that's patient and kind, not condemning and angry and needlessly judgmental. But I also know that my child needs to see the condition of his heart or he won't be okay. Mm-hmm. And I want to look for ways of getting him there.
Talking to Paul David Tripp today. Again, title of his book, Parenting, 14 Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Family. If you want in on the drawing, I would love to hear from you. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Name, mailing address, put parenting in the body of that email somewhere, and we will be back in a moment.
Life's been a journey. I've seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, and you have been my God through all of it.
Isn't grace amazing? God's grace is just amazing. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking specifically about God's grace in parenting. Talking to Paul David Tripp today. His book, Parenting, 14 Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Family. And if you just tuned in, I am telling you, this is one you've got to go back and listen to from the beginning of the show. We'll have that podcast up in just a little bit. I want to jump ahead to this particular gospel principle and its process. And the principle is, you must be committed as a parent to long view parenting, because change is a process, not an event. Speak to that one if you would, Paul.
I think that, again, I have fallen to this many times as a parent. We want parenting to be an event. That means child does something wrong. I want to go into his room. I want to have a conversation with him, and he says, "You're right. I'm wrong. I need more authority in my life. I've got heart problems. I need a savior. Where can I find him?" We want to finish conversation. So what we do is we sort of wind ourselves up emotionally, trying to produce in a single conversation, which God has designed to be a process. Think about this. Having redeemed me by his shed blood, having justified me by his grace, what does God then do? He sets himself on a lifelong process of changing me. As a child of God, my growth in grace, my change, is not an event. It's a process. It's literally a lifelong process. So that frees me. I'm able to say, I've gone as far as I can in this conversation. God's put this child in my home. I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning. We're going to have more opportunities. It can take the emotional pressure and power out of those moments. What it means is that parenting becomes then one long, unending conversation. I know as I'm talking with this 4-year-old that he only understands a few things that I'm saying, but I know I'm going to have that conversation when he's 5. And 11 and 16. And so I'm conducting myself that way. It's that kind of process mentality. And then that means I want to be a good steward of my children. I want to be asking all the time, where are they struggling? Where are they being tempted? Where are they resisting? So I'm looking for opportunities to advance that conversation one more step.
Boy, that's so good. Let's talk about character. This was fantastic. You said not all of the wrong that our children do is a direct rebellion to authority. Much of the wrong is just the result of a lack of character. Boy, I'd love to make a further distinction and unpack that if you would.
Well, again, if you treat every wrong thing as high-handed rebellion, your children are going to feel accused of things that they just never had in their thoughts or their motivations. The Bible does something very interesting with character. Interesting is not a good word. It's profound. It connects character lack, character deficiency, to idolatry. Now you say, what in the world is this man talking about? Well, the children we parent are worshipers. The Bible very clearly says that. Our children don't just worship on Sunday morning, worship their way through every moment of every day. What does that mean? It means that there's something always ruling my child's heart. And what the Bible teaches is that what rules my child's heart will then control his actions and reactions to the circumstances and relationship of everyday life. Let me give you an example. If the heart of my child is ruled by pleasure, and I'm now in a situation where I need his help, and he looks at me and he knows I need his help, but he doesn't move. The reason he doesn't move is because at that moment, what's more important to him than helping his mom is pleasure. Now, no child knows that. No child knows that when you say, well, why didn't you just offer to help me? You knew I needed your help. No child's ever going to say, well, I'm an idolater. I was worshiping something that I shouldn't be worshiping. Because they don't know that. And so my job is to unfold these mysteries to my child so they begin to have this deeper understanding of what motivates them in the situations and relationships of everyday life. Now, I love this. That means character discussions with my children connect me to the single most important issue in the human existence, worship. Because your life is always shaped at street level by who or what worships. What controls your heart, what rules your heart, will shape and control your thoughts, desires, your words, and your actions.
This is why Scripture says, train up a child in the way they should go. If character, they need the training. They need our input, our leadership, and wisdom. We just got about a minute before it's time to wrap and pray. Would love for you to say a word about the principle of mercy. You say, no parent gives mercy better than one who's convinced he desperately needs it himself. Say more.
But I just think it's so important for me to wake up in the morning with the humble confession that I'm more like my children than unlike them. I need every day the rescue that they need every day. And what that does is that makes my heart tender, because I'm now parenting out of the neediness of my own heart. Nobody gives mercy better than a person who is persuaded that they need it themselves. And I'm convinced that parenting is a mission of mercy, because it's only God's mercy that has the power to do what needs to be done in the lives of our children.
Wow, Paul, you've written a fantastic work here. It is profound and deep, and I can't thank you enough for the time. As we're getting ready to wrap, would you pray for that parent who just feels exhausted, feels bad about being impatient, and needs the kind of reset I think that you're talking about here? Would you pray for that person today?
Lord, we're so thankful that you never turn a deaf ear to the cries of your children. And you know that there are parents who have listened today that are discouraged, burdened, and exhausted. And I pray that you would give them a real sense of your presence and your grace, that they would begin to understand that they're not able to do what needs to be done, but you are. And that they've just been called to be instruments in your hands, nothing more than that. And may that begin to lift the burden and give them new ways of dealing with the things that every parent is called to deal with. Thank you that you hear us, and thank you that you never send us without giving us what we need and going with us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Dear Paul, this has been great conversation. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Wow, great, great stuff. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, and just a bit you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Would love to get your name in a drawing for one of Paul's books. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address, and then put parenting somewhere in that email. Coming up next, hour two, Jennifer Dukes-Lee joins me to talk about the happiness there. What she has to say about happiness just might surprise you. Don't go away. Hour two is up next.